After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to the first episode of season three of the 90th Percentile. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is Matt Pajak. It's been a while since we last spoke, Matt, but we're back and we're ready to go. We took the month of January off, as fancy people do. We went skiing in the Alps, etc. But welcome back, man. We got a big guest today.
Yeah, New Year's resolution. No podcasts with Jeff in January.
No, that wasn't it.
It was dry January for you.
Yeah, dry January. I mean, it's great to be back. And when you said you wanted to record today, there was only one name that popped into my mind. Nas Zanatello. I was like, there's no better way to get 2024 started on the 90th percentile than bringing Nas on. His hair is looking fresh.
As always.
He's going to try some things in the offseason that we're not going to discuss on air with the hair.
Yeah, okay, we can talk about that right now.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. No, Nas, it's a pleasure to see you. He's coming at us live from the land of orange juice. You're already down in Florida.
Yeah.
And you know, he's coming at us a lot. And for the people that are only listening to this, he's at the beach right now. His waves look beautiful back there.
I don't know if y'all can see or not, but I'm at the beach right now at Coronado Beach, so pretty lit over here.
Yep, there you go.
Appreciate y'all having me. Jeff, nice meeting you, Matt. Good to speak as always. Matt texted me on Tuesday. I asked what was up. I'm like, for sure, I'll hop on there. Ain't no thing. So let's get this ball rolling, man.
That's it. Well, yeah. The first question that we ask everybody is, and I hope you've had a couple of these at least. I mean, you're a minor league baseball player now, so sandwiches, it's a food group for you. You need to power rank these, all right? You put it on a 20-80 scale if you feel like you're up to the task.
Yeah,
all right? Jimmy John's, Jersey Michael's, Subway, and Capriati's.
Rank them 1 through 4?
Yeah, rank them 1 through 4. If you want to grade them on the 20-80, yeah, you can take a stab at it. There's people who have come on here and done worse, I promise.
Capriati's. Actually, I never had Capriati's, but Subway is going at 4.
Subway, there you go.
With a solid 40, 45 on the 20-80 scale. I never had Capriati's, but it sounds good. It sounds better than Subway. On the 20-80 scale. But Jimmy John's and Jersey Mike's, I mean, Jimmy John's at 2, I'll get at a solid 55. And then Jersey Mike's at 1 with a 70. We just DoorDash Jersey Mike's Monday night, actually. So Jersey Mike's is number 1 for me.
What's the go-to order from Jersey Michael's? What'd you DoorDash over?
Do you get it Michael's way?
I don't like the cold subs. I got a buffalo chicken with extra blue cheese.
There you go. Switching it up.
Take that as not having it Michael's way, but that's okay.
No.
Nizam's way.
I think you had them in the right order.
Yeah.
With the exception of Capriati's, but you never had Capriati's. Well, the fact that you put Capriati's ahead of Subway and you haven't had Capriati's, I mean, that's...
Subway is not it. I haven't had Subway since like 7th grade.
Yeah, I mean, look, you were generous with that grade, despite not being a huge Subway fan, throwing a 40-45 on there.
I wasn't gonna give it a 20. No, it's disrespectful, but it's definitely at the bottom of the list for sure.
I'll give it a 20. A 40-45 might still be a serviceable big leaguer.
They've done too much for sandwich culture. You can't just throw the 20 on.
Yeah, you can't.
As bad as it might be, for sure.
Because even like back in the day, whenever they had like the vintage paintings on the wall, that's nostalgic. You can't hate us.
I used to love just walking into Subway and just smelling a Subway.
You like smelling it?
Man, it used to smell so good. And then there was like a time in my life, it was sometime in college, where I walked into a Subway and I'm like, I really don't like that smell anymore.
Yeah, that happens.
What do you say?
What was a go-to Subway order?
Oh, the go-to Subway, anything with, what was Chipotle Southwest sauce on it?
You like Chipotle Southwest sauce?
Anything with the Chipotle Southwest sauce. So I get like the Italian urban cheese bread. I'll get like either a steak or I do like the chicken breast. I make sure I get it hot, and then I would just throw everything on top of there, right? Be like lettuce, tomato, pickles, peppers, onions, as much as you can fit on there, and then just finish it off with Chipotle Southwest sauce.
Just throw the kitchen sink in there, I guess.
Hey, I'm just telling you, back in my youth, I used to recreate Chipotle Southwest sauce in the kitchen.
Wow.
That was before I graduated to making actual meals.
You were like the original president of the Fast Food Secrets Club, man. You're taking out Jordan the Stallion on that one. He's coming for you on TikTok, Jordan. Watch out.
I'm not coming for anybody on TikTok. We're going to introduce some controversy here. TikTok, stay off TikTok. Any kids listening to this?
Bro, speaking of making sauce, during FPP here in Florida in October and November, my girlfriend came down for a fall break and we saw a recipe on TikTok. It like the Five Guys grilled cheeseburger. We started making that and we started making like burger sauce. Bro, that's a 10 out of 10. Some mayo, some ketchup, Worcestershire sauce, salt, pepper, garlic salt. Mix it real good with some relish. Chef's kiss, bro, 10 out of 10.
Hey, I got something that you got to add in there.
What up?
Get yourself some olives. All right. Chop them real fine. Mix that into whatever you just described there from a burger sauce. And you get that extra layer. You get a little bit of texture.
Black olives.
Black olives.
When I was younger, I used to just eat black olives out of the can.
Oh, I still do that. I eat olives of all types. Like I just went to the grocery store like an hour ago and I bought one of those like big like jars of Spanish olives and I'll polish that thing off in like 2 weeks.
Whenever you first said it, I was like, I thought you meant like green olives. I'm like, I'm not putting green olives in my burger sauce, bro. And my black olives, I can do black olives.
Yeah, black olives are a little tasteless. Otherwise, I would think the oil.
You think I'm putting green olives in a burger sauce? I don't know. What do you think? I'm Canadian or something?
It was hitting that, bro. I didn't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. How was the off season? How you ready to go? Like, first off, let's not talk about baseball off season for a second. Did you travel anywhere in the off season?
Yeah, I had a couple short road trips out to Riverton, Illinois, about an hour and a half east of St. Louis to see some family. Then I went down to Phoenix about a week before Christmas, also to visit some family. Then a couple short road trips down to SEMO to visit my girlfriend. But other than that, just stay home and train all season.
Sounds pretty low key.
Yeah, no, it was chill.
You get any good eats when you're out in Phoenix?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of like a food mecca out there.
Bro, it is. We were in Scottsdale too. So it was like all the good spots were in Scottsdale. It was this brunch place we went to. I forgot the name of it, but I got like a pecan French toast. It was fire. And then for dinner, we went to a place called Steak 44. That was the best New York strip I've ever had. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a New York strip kind of guy. And that was the best strip I've ever had.
Yeah, I can get down with steak. I mean, it's kind of nice being out here in Colorado. It's like,
yeah,
we got access to the finest beefs in the world.
Yeah, no, for real.
Yeah.
Not me, but I funny. Definitely I like all cuts of steak. I'm more of a ribeye guy though. I like the fat flavor.
Yeah, Jeff likes to eat the heart too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Portuguese, man. I grew up in a household where people like made bunny stew. So all those weird parts don't freak me out.
I'm going to have to.
I take inspiration in the kitchen from Action Bronson. I saw an episode of his YouTube show last week, and he was out in France, and he was with this like high-end chef, and the high-end chef is famous for not letting any part of the cow go to waste. So he was eating all kinds of crazy stuff. It's good enough for Action Bronson.
It's good enough for him. Is he still making that show? Is he making new episodes? I used to watch it like a couple of years. He's still making episodes?
He probably lost like 200 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, he's like him and CC Sabathia like swinging together. Yeah, he's big into like the Hungarian
hammer,
and then like the Bulgarian bags that you can like swing over your head.
Oh yeah, the bags.
It's all that like strength training stuff. You know, he's trying to do like World's Strongest Man type of stuff or something. That's how he's training. But he gets after it. Like he legitimately has lost a lot of weight. Still gets after it in the kitchen as well. Drinking olive oil straight out the bottle.
Guy got to treat yourself, man.
Hey,
that's a pro move.
Exactly. Let me throw my first question at you. I'm based here in Boston, so not a diehard Red Sox fan or anything, but I am a big Celtics fan, big basketball fan. Obviously, I cover Major League prospects here at Baseball America, but I know that you played for Justin Tatum, who's the father of Jason Tatum. You also had Al Nipper on your high school staff at Christian Brothers. Did you get any sort of insight from either of them, whether it was from Jason directly or from Al, just about the Boston media dealing with the Boston market? Because it's a different animal out here, man.
No, not any direct insight from Jason or Justin about Boston insight. But Justin was like, hey, man, we get your money. Take care of your money. Like, he did say, take care of my money. But Al was great. He didn't give me any insight on Boston media from that standpoint. But there's ins and outs about the Red Sox and how to deal with adversity while I'm in the minor leagues. He talked about that a lot. So no insight about the media at all from any of those guys.
Yeah, you're probably too early for that. It gets contentious here at times. Not necessarily the written baseball media, but there's a lot of talk radio that's very active. And there's always some interesting narratives getting pushed out there. So
Now it's not directed at the players anyway. So
no, now it's directed at ownership almost entirely.
Yeah.
Once all the Heim stuff happened on Twitter, it was pretty bad. I had to stay off Twitter for a couple of days. I didn't want to see any stuff, but
hey man, you're going to need a crash course on that media training. Cause there's a Red Sox Netflix special that just got announced.
Let's go that.
Yeah,
you're about to be on that thing.
Yeah, there was a camera crew there today. I don't know if it was for that, but I saw a couple cameras around today.
Interesting. So you're down there. You're down there right now in Fort Myers. How is that going, man? I know we're not going to talk too much baseball stuff, but when did you get down there, and what sort of stuff are you working on?
I got here. Got here Sunday at like 5. Checked into the spot. Got a spot in Cape Coral. All the older guys said it was a rookie mistake getting a spot across the bridge for spring training. But it was the only thing I could find. I didn't want to stay in the hotel, but it's the only spot I could find out here, close enough to the field. I got here Sunday. Everything's been chill so far. Like yesterday, I had a day where I didn't have to get to the field until about 11:30. Then I hit and was done at 12:30. So everything's been light so far.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it's good. You're feeling good after – I know you got shut down after an injury there after, like, what, 2 at-bats in A-ball last year?
Yeah. Got to learn how to run the bases right. I can't, like, extend my leg to touch first base. That was my first – that was another rookie mistake. Extending the leg to touch first base. I'm going to get there.
Details. Yeah. Nas.
Got to pay attention to him. I had a little hamstring strain in low A. Got back and, like – 2 weeks, 3 weeks, so everything was fine after that.
Yeah, and then everything was good out in Instructs. And you went down to, what, the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, I did have to go down to the DR for a week. That was definitely an experience. We boarded the plane here in Fort Myers. It was like 60 degrees here. It felt nice. Flew to Atlanta. it was like 24 degrees there. So we got off the plane, it was freezing. Then flew down to the DR, got down there, it was like 88 and humid. We all had on like hoodies and sweatpants, we were sweating balls off. Down there was really nice. It was a huge culture shock. Just seeing what all they got to go through down there. On the van back to the complex down there, we saw a scooter with like five people on it. So that stuff is real. Like you always heard about it. Like you laugh at it. And you go down there and see it. It's like, oh, like definitely should be laughing at this. Like this is what they got to do every day to provide and go to work and do whatever. So, I mean, just from a baseball standpoint, it was amazing working. Been able to bond with those guys, speaking Spanish. Like my Spanish is a little rusty right now because I ain't been down there in a while. But just being able to interact with those guys, being with the language barrier, that was a huge thing for me. Just going down there to bond with those guys.
Yeah, I don't know if you had an opportunity to do it. I'm assuming they just kind of took you from here to there, and that's it. But there's a gas station that's just outside of Santo Domingo on the way to all the different complexes. Yeah. It's called El Gran Parador.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that.
70-grade ribs.
70-grade ribs?
Yeah. It's like, it's so famous in like the Dominican scouting. Like anytime you go down there, it's like people know about it. You go in there, it's a gas station, and they just have like a wall with all the famous people that have been in there. Like David Ortiz is on there, whatever, but their ribs are insane.
You know what animal the ribs are from? Don't even worry about it.
I think it's got to be pork, but yeah, I don't know for sure.
It's probably pork. Yeah, it's probably pork there, almost certain.
Hey, the last time I was down there, I had some like stewed goat. That was really good.
Oh yeah,
we had that for lunch one day. It was fire. Yeah, I'm having goat. It was amazing.
Curried goat, all that stuff is so good.
There was a group down there the week before us, and they were like, bring Cliff Bars, bring whatever, because if you don't like chicken and rice, you're not going to eat. I was like, bro, I love chicken and rice. What? 6 day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, chicken, rice, avocado. Chicken, rice, pinto bean, avocado. I was like, all right, yeah. Like, I am starting to get burnt out of the chicken and rice.
Yeah, I got to ask, if you had the stewed goat, was there anybody that you were with that was like, no, I'm not touching that?
Yeah, whenever I went, it was me, Justin Raymer, Adam Bates, he's an Australian signee, Drew Earhart, and Caden Rose. Caden Rose, he's an Alabama boy, so he wasn't messing with the food that much. anything that wasn't like white meat, he was like, oh, no, I'm not touching that, dude. Like there was like two nights he didn't eat just because it was like stewed goat or something. I don't know the name, but it was good to me. He didn't touch
bougie. Those bougie Alabama boys.
He was like, dude, I would tear some raisin canes up right now. We're like, bro, we're here right now. Lockie.
I would trade every time I've had raisin canes for curry or stewed goat. I'm not even lying.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Outside the sauce, man, I think Cane's is super overrated.
So, yeah, I'm going to hit you. I think Zaxby's is better than Raising Cane's. I mean, I know it's basically the same thing, but yeah.
Cane's got better toast. Like, if Zaxby's had Cane's toast, that would seal the deal.
That's literally the only thing, right? I mean, you're sitting here and you're like, what?
It's what irks me about it is it's like people are like, yeah, but the toast and the sauce. And I'm like, but the chicken's so dry.
No, the chicken's bad at Cane's, bro.
You know.
And then if you don't get a fresh batch, like the breading just falls off. It literally just slides off the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it for the first time driving through Tennessee on my way to North Carolina for Christmas. And I just like posted up. I picked like a random corner in downtown Knoxville. And I just parked my car right there. And I just pulled it out. I'm eating in the... sitting in the trunk of my car on a corner. There's like homeless people walking by. There's like an underpass right there. There's all kinds of different illicit activities happening in broad daylight.
I'll rob you for your chicken tender, bro.
Yeah, I was just sitting there and I was just eating that chicken. And I was like, you know what? This is what people go crazy over, this Raising Cane's here. Yeah. And it's exactly what you said. Like the chicken's fine, fries or whatever. I didn't even finish the fries. That's when you know the fries or whatever, because I was hungry.
Yep.
The sauce was fine. I was sitting there. I was like, yeah, I mean, honestly, I just come here and get the toast. but
sometimes coleslaw.
Coleslaw is fine, but it's tough to really like jack up coleslaw unless you throw like raisins in it or something, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people from Alabama listening to this, but I think it, like I know enough people from Alabama at this point where it's like if you are from Alabama, and when you grow up, there is a much bigger like learning curve on food and adjustment period to like get on board with everybody else, like in terms of what's good. Yeah, I think like Alabama is just so far behind. It's kind of like graduating like high school. And like, you know, you're three math classes behind, but you go to college and it's like you show up and everyone's already done stats and you're just like, ah, I did algebra too. You know what I mean? But like in food,
you know, one right? of my,
so you got to work on Caden.
You know, one of my boys at Mizzou right now, his dad went to Alabama. So he went down there for like Christmas or whatever. He came back and like, bro, I gained 8 pounds. Like I didn't have anything but steak, burgers, and Dr. Pepper. I was like, you go down for like 10 days, bro. He's like, yeah, I didn't have anything but steak, burgers, and Dr. Pepper.
I don't hate that, but that's probably not the best diet.
Yeah, sure. not a wide palate at all.
Hey, when I first moved to North Carolina, I got hooked on sweet tea. And everywhere you go, the sweet tea, they come out and it's like this big and it's free refills. And if you get like halfway done, they come out with another big one.
They never even finished the one.
Yeah, that's it. So like after like a couple of months of drinking sweet tea, I'm like, I'm off this stuff. Like as good as it is, like I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die sitting here drinking sweet tea.
Yeah, it switched to water.
Yeah, water.
You ever had a cookout milkshake?
Oh yeah.
Are they as thick as people say they are?
Yeah.
They're bad.
No, they're good.
They're just thick.
They're thick. It probably takes like 5-10 minutes, like holding it to warm it up enough where you can actually like sip that thing, but. Let me say there's like 45-50 different flavors and you can mix them, right? So like, you know, me being a creative mind, I just go in there, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna come up with something that nobody's ever had before, right? And I do like so there's a black cherry shake that has actual pieces of black cherries in it, and then they got a like a Snickers shake, so I get like a black cherry Snickers shake, and that's like, I mean, with the cost of milkshakes these days, like the milkshake economy in 2024 isn't particularly good. You know, it's like, oh, 10 bucks for a milkshake, whatever. Go to cookout, you get that milkshake. It's like $5.
I've never been to a cookout. I've never even seen one.
It's like straight ice cream, apparently. Like you literally can't drink the shake.
You can't. No.
You literally can't drink it. Like you have to get like a metal spoon because the plastic spoon is banned.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's very real, but. You know, when you get that first I mean, what, like, do they have them in Salem?
I didn't see any in Virginia, but I know they got them in North Carolina, Louisiana.
You might see it in Greenville.
Yeah, probably.
You used to Greenville? Like, yeah, I'll go out. Hey, take notes. Right, black cherry Snickers shake.
Man.
I've never doubted you on food before, Matt, but this one, this might be pushing it too far. I think you got a little too creative, dude.
You know. No, I'll tell you about the time I got a little too creative with a shake, and then we'll move on from this because I really don't want to talk about this any longer. I feel like we're
like 25 minutes on food. I say we just keep going.
Yeah, we're hurting people's ears at this point. No, so I went to cookout, and so I used to do this thing. Being from Massachusetts, I used to love the watermelon roll from Friendly's, and the watermelon roll was like this. You go to the grocery store, and it was almost like an ice cream cake, mm-hmm. but it was shaped like half a watermelon, and it had like – watermelon sherbet with like chocolate chips to be like the seeds, and it had like lemon sherbet, you know, for the rind, and then it had like a green like dusting over it so that it looked like a watermelon. So you get a slice of that, it's a watermelon roll, right? So I was like, all right, the watermelon sherbet there is so good. And then what I would do is I would mix that with like chocolate chip ice cream. I would be like, all right, so you get like the vanilla, you get the watermelon, you get the chocolate chips. Nas's face right now is like,
Can you stop?
So anyway, so the first time I go to cookout and I realize I can combine flavors, I get the watermelon shake and I mix it with chocolate chip. Well, what I didn't know is that, and huge mistake, don't ever get the watermelon shake just in general at cookout because they put actual pieces of watermelon in there.
Oof.
Yeah, so I get like this shake and it's like half chocolate chip ice cream and then half like actual chunks of like real watermelon, and it's not like quality watermelon. It's just whatever, they got. It's just, yeah. I mean, it was not my finest moment, but yeah, that's that for sure.
Definitely too creative.
Yeah, a little too creative. Anyway,
with milkshake.
Nas, I got a question for you.
I'll let him.
Do you have any questions for us?
Interview.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I sent you those cleats. Update on the cleats with the painting.
Update on the cleats. I just finished a pair and they went out in the mail on Monday. So you are next up. Yep. So still shooting for, I'll try and get them to you by the beginning of March.
Bet.
And then we're going to go for. Hey, you were prepared. You had a question for us.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think you could beat Jeff in a rap battle?
A rap battle?
Yeah.
Probably not. I don't know enough about him. Like, I didn't know enough about him off the top.
Well, I don't even think that matters because Jeff is a former underground rapper.
Really?
Yeah, a long time ago. Like,
We're talking like a long, long time.
We're talking like the early 2000s. Yeah, I'm 40. I'm 42. So,
oh, and I'm not beating Jeff. Then Jeff got this one.
Yeah, you ever see Entourage?
The battle rap generation.
I started it. I didn't get too far into it, but I started it back at FPP.
Yeah, Jeff used to run with the real Saigon.
Real Saigon.
The actual Saigon that was on the show. He was good, man. And then, like, he did Entourage, and I think everyone thought he was corny because he did Entourage. So, kind of killed him. He was like, came out of jail, and it was kind of like the same sort of path as like 50 Cent was on at that point. Yeah. And and he like didn't pop at all for whatever reason. Did an album with Static Selective though, though. They recorded it in a day. That was pretty dope.
But, the first time I saw it, after practice one day, I went back to Roman, Marcelo, and Max Ferguson's crib. They had a spot. They were just watching it. I was just chilling watching it with them. I never heard of it. And the next day, one of our clubbies, RJ, he was like, bro, no, I've never seen Entourage, but that show was like fire. I was like, matter of fact, I just saw it yesterday. I'll get deeper into it now because everybody's talking about it. Which it was cool for sure.
Yeah, do you think Marcelo looks like Vinny Chase?
I see it a little bit. Isn't it like identical? But I see it a little bit, yeah.
Hey, you know what they say, the bigger the head, the bigger the star.
I saw
Willis, that big head. Nas Zanatello, big head.
There's
my head actually small. It's lying behind the hair. My head is small, bro.
Hey, you don't want to say that too loud. Bigger the head, the bigger the star.
That's hilarious. I saw him at the Futures game, and there's like we do an event prior to the Futures game. You know, hit this year and you'll probably get an invite.
Are you saying Vinny Chase or Mayer?
Mayer. Okay. So he rolls up, and like there's some guys that are like nondescript. Like when I saw Clayton Beater, he could have just been like some dude from Texas in a cowboy hat. You know what I mean? And then you see Mayer walk up, and it was like, oh, okay, that's Marcelo Mayer because he looks exactly like Vinny Chase. I thought it was him. It was like, dude, like it's uncanny a little bit, you know? Like the cheekbones, the face structure might be a little bit different with whoever the actor is that played that guy. But it's the same deal. He's leaning into it with the hair too.
He knows.
He's watching Entourage at the crib. He knows.
Renier. Yeah.
He
might be thinking he's watching himself on TV.
Maybe. He's probably trying to be like Vinny Chase watching it. But he do got a like distinct look because Monday we had physicals. We're all wearing like it's like plain t-shirts, Lulu sweats, slides. He come in with like a full Zara outfit, like a knit polo, like the top button down, some khakis, and like Gucci shoes. Like, bro, we're getting physicals. Like, what's good?
He's ready, man. He's ready. He's ready for the big leagues. He's got the Gucci loafers, man. You know how it goes.
I was like, wow, he got it on though.
That's crazy. That's funny though.
Yeah, it was.
Hey,
it was
did you know that you were going to the Red Sox before the draft?
Not necessarily. Like there were talks about it just from the workout I did with them down in Weatherford. But it wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to the Red Sox, like for sure.
Yeah, I just had to sneak that one in there.
What was draft day like for you? You were at the draft, right? In Seattle?
I was in Seattle. I went to the future.
Yeah. I think I was scrambling around in that media scrum trying to track all the picks and waiting for Max Clark to get onto his interview 2 hours later. So I might have missed it. But what was the draft experience like for you going out to Seattle? I don't know if you've been out there before. I hadn't. It's definitely different from other places I visited just in terms of how it looks and kind of an interesting downtown area. So what was that like for you and the family?
You know, that was my first time in Seattle. That was my first time in the whole like Pacific Northwest.
Mm.
I'm saying with my family, like they've been to San Francisco before just to visit family. But first time in Seattle, first day down there, we just kind of walked around downtown. Like we went down to the Pike Market,
yeah,
fish, went to eat in that Le Beau area back there. Forgot the name of the restaurant, but like behind all the parkers, there was like a boat they opened up for lunch. We ate there. I mean, just being there, experiencing everything like the Futures game, All-Star game, home run derby, being able to talk to the media. Like that was my first taste of Boston media. And whenever you said, I was like, yeah, I got a taste of it, but I didn't know about the very active radio talk shows and stuff.
No, you got Alex Spira, who's the man. He's like the best writer in Boston.
Yeah. Which, you know, everything was great. Being in the green room was definitely like nerve wracking. Like, I'm kind of shaking up thinking about it. But just seeing everybody go and guys leaving the green room, coming back into the green room, it was definitely an amazing feeling. My boy Charlie Soto was there with me. So once his name got called, I was extra happy for him. Same with Noble Meyer, guys in my high school grad year going. So that was pretty cool to be there with them, experiencing that firsthand with them. So everything was great.
When you were walking through the market, did you try any of the Rainier cherries? I ran down there a couple of days, and the first day I ran down, I was staying over like other side of the town near the Amazon campus. It's a couple miles. I get down there and I was just looking for something to drink. And they had these cherries everywhere I went. And I was like, well, if the cherries are a big deal and I'm unaware of it, I gotta grab some. So yeah, I grabbed them and they were incredible. I think they're Rainier cherries.
Yeah, no, we didn't get any.
Oh yeah.
Where were they? Like in the shop?
Yeah, like when you're walking through like the market there, it's like you have like the fish guys that throw the fish and do like all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then like there were like all these cherry dealers like over on the side.
Yeah, now, you saw Nas's face when I was talking about putting cherries in a milkshake. He doesn't like cherries.
No, I like cherries. I didn't get any reindeer cherries. But funny story from Seattle. On the way to the Futures game, they told us that we could catch like the little train bus shuttles or whatever in downtown Seattle. Like, yeah, you can catch these, whatever, take them down to the stadium. Me and Charlie were waiting for like 10 minutes for one. None stopped. How are people getting on these? Like, they didn't stop. So then we were waiting for like the All-Star game shuttles. They said they would take us to the thing. None of those came either. I guess they were transporting all like the Futures game players and everything. So Charlie and I walked from the hotel all the way to the stadium. It was like a 45 minute walk.
Oh man. Yeah. And it's like, you're like, the highways and stuff were weird too, to get to the stadium. Cause it's kind of separated from the city.
The highways from like back streets. It's like,
yeah.
The back street to get to the highway. But we were like, should we just wait? Like, we already been waiting for 40 minutes. 40 minutes, we could just walk there. We were like, screw, we're just going to walk. But yeah, no, that was definitely.
Hey, man, I don't know if you saw anything. Seattle is a weird walk. It is a weird walk.
It's a weird one, man. Like, I ran and walked around the city all day because it's like, we have stuff to do. I'd write my stories. And then we would have like these 4-hour, 5-hour periods of time between like events and stuff. So I'm kind of just like trying to fill in the gaps. Yeah. And so I would walk around and it was the same, like you would be in this like really nice neighborhood and then you'd walk down the road and there was some dude like sitting there with like, you know, who pooped his pants, like not kidding.
Yeah. And we went to my family and I went to the Needle. We went to the top of the, like the Space Needle.
Yep.
And we had to stay on one side because out of the other side, we went at like 5 o'clock. You couldn't see out of it because the sun was just right there the whole time.
Yeah,
so stay on one side. I can only like see downtown. I couldn't see the mountains and water and everything, but it was nice.
Yeah, the surrounding area is super beautiful.
Yeah, and everything's so lush because it rains there. You got like the bright blues, bright greens, and like the city kind of flows. But hey, man, this one time I was walking through downtown Seattle. I had a similar experience to you. It was about a mile walk from the hotel I was at to T-Mobile, right? So like. Me and I was with an intern and we were walking. We got about halfway there and then you just start to like feel the ground shake. And I'm like, what's going on here? We're just like down like a street that like cars can't go down. It was kind of like blocked off. There were like restaurants on either side, whatever. Yeah. So you just hear like this like rumbling. And then I like turned around and there's like 60 people on bicycles. Every type of bicycle you could imagine, like the one with the big wheel in the front, the small wheel in the back, like the
Flying Dutchman.
Somebody was on a tractor.
There was definitely like a tandem bike. It was everything you could possibly imagine. Someone was on it, they had training wheels, whatever. And they come around the corner and it was like the eeriest thing because it was like they're all on bicycles and it's like a little bit goofy looking, but at the same time it was like really intimidating. And they all had like these deadpan straight face looks. And I was just like, this is a Seattle biker gang right here. And they're running up on us. And like, if we didn't move, they would have ran us over. So like, we quickly like darted and we like got up against a wall kind of like this and they just went by. And I'm telling you, like, it was like the sun was out and then like they came around the corner and like a cloud crossed in front of the sun and then they left and then the sun came back out. And I was like,
yeah, all the infrastructure there is like different too. Cause downtown, like the whole thing was like going uphill, so all of them were like had to be round and that they were shaped differently. That was my first time ever seeing anything like that.
So do you know about the city under the city?
Mm-mm.
Google that. Seattle is built on top of a city.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. The first time I was walking to dinner, I looked down through like the storm drain grate, and there was someone walking under me. Google that one.
you wanted your controversy on this podcast, man. I think we found it. We insulted the entire food palettes of the people of Alabama and now we're unearthing the secret city of Seattle.
Yeah, last thing on Seattle. When you said that you went eight down by where the boats were at, are you talking about the piers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the one time I went down to the piers, I don't even know when it was. And I promise you the San Antonio Spurs were not in town. And he might have been retired at this point. I'm walking and there's like an outdoor restaurant right on the pier, and I'm walking by the outdoor restaurant where the outdoor seating area is. And it's Manu Ginobili. I mean, you can't miss that nose. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we walked right by Manu Ginobili. I'm like, Manu Ginobili. It was like July. Strangest thing. Seattle is just a strange town.
Trying to bring the Supersonics back, you know.
What he's doing. That's it. But, you know, great memories. Great memories there for Nas. Seattle, he holds near and dear to his heart.
Yeah, definitely. We're trying to get food. Trying to get food after the draft was probably the worst part of that night.
Oh, it wasn't easy.
We didn't leave the stadium until about 10 o'clock-ish. Like, I spent the whole day at the stadium, which is cool. But we didn't leave there until like 10 o'clock. Went back to the hotel, had to make some calls, talk to people, set some things up. And then we got back out at like 11:30. We had to walk. We had to walk everywhere. So we found a spot not far from like the Pike Market, like Wings Bar and Grill. It was something Bar and Grill. But I got a patty melt at like midnight. I feel like I was in heaven. I took my first bite. I was like, oh man, this is what I needed all day.
Patty melt. It was like a Sunday too. And like everything was closed because there was like stuff around the stadium even that we were going to go eat at. After we got out of there, maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock. And yeah, it took us probably like an hour to find any place to sit down and eat.
Yeah.
And walk around for a while.
There were hotels that had like bar and grills inside of them. But after a certain time, you had to be 21 to eat. And it was like me and my little sister.
Yeah.
Like we wouldn't have been able to eat because it was at a bar, but we finally found a spot, and I'm glad we did. That patty melt was much needed.
It was divine. Well, I got to ask you about a St. Louis food spot.
All right.
So recently someone has told me about this. It comes highly recommended. Have you heard of Grace and Three Meats?
Grace and Three Meats? I've heard of them. You heard of it?
Just write that one down next time you're home.
No, my son walked in the door, so I was just signaling to him.
I thought you were counting.
I've had it. You heard of Grace and Three Meats? It was like a deli, or
no? Apparently, it's like Adam Wainwright's involved in it in some capacity, but a certain area scout that you're familiar with told me that it's some of the best chicken he's ever had in his life. So
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, you're gonna have to check that one out.
Mom, go check it out.
Yeah, Jeff, you got any more questions here? I got one more. That's an absolute banger that we're gonna go out on, but I'm gonna save it for last. So if you got anything before I drop this,
you know what, man? Now that you teased it like that, I'm gonna scrap my last question and I'm gonna hand the mic back over to you, man, and let you drop the banger on us.
All right, 50 eagles, 10 alligators, 3 bears, 7 bulls, 15 wolves, 10,000 rats, 5 gorillas, 4 lions. Okay. All right.
50
then you can only pick 2 of them to be on your side, and then the rest of them are fighting against you. All right. 50 eagles.
Hold on.
Yeah, you might want to write this down.
50 eagles. All right.
10 alligators.
All right.
3 bears. 7 bulls, 15 wolves, 10,000 rats.
Sleeper pick.
5 gorillas, 4 lions.
All right.
So you can draft 2 of them to be on your team, and then the rest of them are fighting against you.
I want to pick the rats so bad, but I don't know what they can do besides just like nag you. I got to think about this one.
Yeah, think about it. Jeff, you think about this one too. It's a question for all of us.
I'm going to send it in the chat so you can see it, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm going to start off. I'm going to start off with the alligators because they're such aggressive animals. And I feel like there's enough of them that they're going to take a big chunk out of the rats, frankly. You know, for me, it's kind of a decision between the bears, the lions, or the gorillas. Are these silverback gorillas?
They can be.
All right. Well, the silverback gorillas, man, are super aggressive. They have some teeth. They could. I feel like the silverback gorilla could take out the bears. The big question for me is the silverback gorilla versus the lion, which is much faster than the silverback gorilla and still has like some strength, you know? So it's kind of like a battle of athleticism versus just pure strength and aggression and power, you know? So I think I'm going to go with the gorillas just because I like the gorillas. You know, we're both primates. We're kind of close. You know, cousins. There might be some kinship there. I don't want to kill them.
Definitely cousins.
So I'm gonna take the gorillas and the alligators. I consider the eagles to have like a land and like air sort of attack, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm a little worried about the eagles. I feel like they'd be good with the rats, but not necessarily do enough damage on the gorillas or the bears or the lions.
I'm gonna go with the 15 wolves and 10,000 rats. Because I feel like the wolves, they're going to hunt in packs. So they're going to be able to kill the gorillas and the lions. They hunt in packs. They're cunning. Alligators are too slow. They can't turn around. So two wolves can kill an alligator. Eagles can't kill a big animal. Yeah, they'll get the rats, but they're not doing anything to a gorilla or a lion. So yeah, I'm gonna say wolves and rats. Because 10,000, that's a lot. That's like a whole tsunami of rats coming at you. You can't do anything about 10,000 rats.
Jeff, did you say you took the alligators?
I did. I did take the alligators.
That's just a bad pick.
My squad is 4-0 sweeping your squad.
I don't know, man. I think the thing that you're not considering is how tough it is to penetrate an alligator's hide.
I don't think you understand how 10,000 rats. I guess an alligator can eat.
It's 10,000 rats.
Listen, 10,000 rats.
Once one animal dies, the rats are gonna be like once one animal dies, those rats are gonna be fighting each other to eat that animal.
Hey, 10,000 rats is the first pick, and it's not even close. I don't think any of us can fathom how many rats that is. That's 10.
I've been in New York City, man. I've seen 10,000 rats.
Yeah, and
average size rats.
Imagine
if you can pick.
You're running away from that. You don't even want to look at it.
They're appalling. They're gross. And let me just say this: like, if you can pick silverback gorillas specifically, I can pick New York City sewer rats. 10,000 New York City sewer rats.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, once one animal dies, though, man, those things are going to be fighting each other.
10,000 splinters.
The pack of wolves. I like. I thought that was insightful because they do hunt together, and there is strength in numbers there. So
it was a solid pick. I'm going with the 50 eagles. So I agree with Nas on the rats. He threw some shade at the eagles, but like you're talking, I don't know if you know how big an eagle is, and we're talking 50 of these bad Larrys. All right, flying around, they got a very sharp beak. They're doing what you want them to do. All right, this isn't like, you know, you say, all right, 25, take them from the east, 25, take them from the west. I mean, did you see the Lord of the Rings?
No, I never watched it.
The Eagles are the heroes.
Blaze Jordan said he'd been binge watching it.
Yeah, you gotta get some Lord of the Rings. It watch the Lord of the Rings, watch the Hobbit. See what the Eagles do, and then just get back to me on that one.
I just like the Eagles. They're not. Yes, it's 50 of them. Yes, they're a really big bird, but they're not attacking a lion or a wolf or
wolves. I think they would.
I think you could send 250 rats at a bull or a bear or a gorilla or a lion, and they would just overwhelm them. And if they were like their teeth are so like big and yellow and nasty, like they would chew those things up. 250 out of my 10,000 stock.
Dude, but here's the thing, right? You know how fast I'm going to throw my alligator justification here again. Do you realize how fast alligators move in a straight line?
They move, but they can't.
40 miles an hour. So you line them up in like a star. So you cover the full circumference, man. Bam. They're just going out there, and they're taking out like full animals with like one bite, and they're low to the ground. You know, you can't wrestle with them. It's tough to get leverage.
Yeah, you get.
I mean, they might just eat some legs, dude. Just hammering the legs of the bulls. And
what are they, Dan Campbell?
And then the rats get confused because the bull's dead. And
but
easy sailing here.
As soon as the alligators spread out, the wolves are coming from each direction. So if the alligators aren't standing in that circle and just not moving, the moment they spread, they're cooked. They can't turn their head. So like
that's when we bring in the gorillas.
I don't know. The rats are gonna swarm the gorillas. The gorilla gonna run from 10,000 rats, 10,000 master splinters. You can't.
All I'm saying is I'm making a giant wall of rats, and none of those other animals that are trying to attack us are ever gonna see me.
It literally, like I'm guarded for at least a day.
I might even go get some like Raisin Canes or something. Sit there and have a snack before I join the fray.
Yeah. I'm gonna go back for again.
I'm gonna go back to well,
on that note, let's wrap this up. This has been another episode of the 90th percentile for Matt, for Jeff, and for Naz Anatella. Thank you for joining us, man. Best of luck this season. And, you know, get out there, try some of these foods that Matt's telling you to try. Get one of those cherry Snickers shakes.
Yeah, I'm going to try Capriotto's. I don't know about the shake.
I can settle for you trying Capriotti's.
If you can find it.
Yeah, if you can find it.
All right. Nice to try it again.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money.